getting education, surrounding yourself with the right people, whether that's partners and education, mentors, whatever that looks like, to allow you to move forward instead of letting fear, paranoia, or what other people say or think about you, you know, keep you from starting to begin with. So,
welcome to the Profit First REI podcast, where real estate investors master financial management, eradicate entrepreneurial poverty, and learn to be profitable from day one. Now for your host, David Richter.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Profit First REI podcast. I'm your host, David Richter, with another special guest, Scott Myers. You may have heard of him. He is the self-storage investing king. So this is, he has a lot of units out there. He teaches a lot of people, has helped a lot of people. He has the self-storage investing podcast. He's a big giver as well too. I had the pleasure of being on his podcast and just talking about where he is and what he's done and mission trips he's taken. And he's implemented Profit First. So he's a big Profit First believer too. So that's why I wanted to have Scott on here. I know you're going to learn a lot from him today. So Scott, thanks for being on the podcast today.
David, good to be back together again and share some more time. How are you today?
Yeah, doing wonderful. Thanks for asking and we're excited to have you here. I really enjoyed the last time we were together.
I did as well. Likewise.
Awesome. So let's dive right into it. Like, let's just the jugular right away. When did you first implement Profit First and how was that journey of implementing Profit First inside your businesses?
Yeah. So that was first quarter of 2021. So a big fan of Michael and the Pumpkin Plan is how I was introduced to him. And then it was really by, a series of events that happened concurrently. I mean, like one right after another, I heard Michael on a podcast. I can't remember whose it was. And then shortly after that, he came and spoke at one of the masterminds that you and I are involved in. And so we had the opportunity and the pleasure of being able to, at least I did, you'd already known Michael, to be able to meet him and learn from him in person. And so at that point, it was just like, all right, I recognize the signs when God tells me there's an area of my business I need to focus on, you know, that there was never a better time. And so bought his book, started following the plan. I was extremely excited to share this, not only with my wife, who's our controller, but then also with our CPA and our bookkeeper. And once we began to put it in place, I can't say it was tough. And it was also at a time where my controller, who I just mentioned is my wife, also had stated, we as entrepreneurs, and I hope it's not just me, it's other folks out there, but you know, those of us that are passionate about our businesses, you know, we just want to reinvest. And many times that is to our detriment. And, you know, that's what happens to many of us. And we don't spend lavishly. We just don't, you know, we have, as a matter of fact, a responsibility. And we're a socially responsible company that focuses on missions. And so we don't have fancy cars. We don't have a big house. But I'm passionate about my business because I know that the leverage that provides, which allows us to do more mission work and to impact more people's lives and how we invest in self-storage and teach people how to do it. And so I was just plowing everything back into the business. And then if you do that too long, then if there aren't enough cash reserves or to cover either expenses or to pay yourself or even to grow, if there's an opportunity that comes up and you don't have the availability to even to perhaps dip into that fund just a little bit to pay it back, if there's a way to be able to do that in a vehicle and a time horizon, then you're dead in the water on all those fronts. And it's the same as if you weren't doing well in your business. And so having that discipline being put in place, I was excited about it until we began to implement it. And then when the clamps were put on me as the owner of the business, it was difficult. I'll be honest with you, completely necessary, you know, the tough love that was required of, my staff and those in my inner circle and at the executive level to, you know, put the clamps on me. And that is, it's been key. It was much needed. And now we are at the place I am, you know, one of the examples that Michael uses where I don't see it and I don't know. And it's probably best because at times when I want to do something or if we need to do something, I don't even ask anymore because I already know what the answer is. And we've already committed to that. And I've been giving my marching orders and my parameters. And so it has now become easier because I'm basically ignorant of what the money is and where it goes. And for me, maybe not for everybody, that's been best. And so I have to ask for permission, literally say, here's an expense, here's an opportunity, whatever that looks like. you know, do we have the ability to do this? And I basically plead my case, build the business plan for this expenditure that I want to do. And having that process and the plan in place has allowed us to make better decisions and to keep me from just going off and doing things, which was, you know, part of the issue or the problems that we had in the past. And so operating from this standpoint right now, it's kind of freeing, to be honest with you, David, if that makes any sense.
And that makes a lot of sense, especially for me. Like, I understand that because we're working with lots of investors, which made me even think while you were saying that, you were like, I hope I'm not in the same boat. You know, I hope I'm not the only one out here. And it's like, yeah, a lot of people were in that situation. Just had a call today, literally with an investor, like not paying himself consistently, not, you know, like feeling in the rat race, just spinning his wheels. And I think a lot of us get there if we don't put these in place. Like you said, it was that it was difficult. It was a new discipline, a new habit to instill. So it was like, yeah, it's at the beginning, it feels not freeing. But now I love what you said. Now you feel free. Like now you've got the money, you've got it to spend, to give, to do the things that you love to do. So I think it's on the other side. I love hearing people's stories. So what's one of the things through this system that you've been able to do or to go on? I know you go on mission trips and whatnot, but like, has that, what are some of the benefits that you've reaped from implementing this system?
Yeah, so that was one of the pieces that was a constant, always has been a constant. And awesome. That when we made this commitment to our mission work, it was to take 10% of our profits. So a little different, you know, on the personal level, you know, a tithe is 10% off the top. We give that back to God and by way of our church, you know, before we pay ourselves. And that one is easy to do as well. With the business, you know, if you pay 10% off the top, there's businesses out there that, you know, don't have that much margin. They would go out of business. So, you know, on the corporate side, you know, on a quarterly basis, we take 10% of our profits. So it truly is, we look at the net, and then take 10% of that and funnel it over into National Christian Foundation. That is our giving arm. And then when we have enough money or when we have, depending on how much, how well we have done that quarter, will dictate. And we do two mission trips per year. We do house builds. Well, that'll determine how many houses we build essentially. And so God has blessed that. And the more discipline we get in that area, the more houses we've been able to build. I mean, it started out, we were doing one a year. And then we're doing two trips, doing one a year. And now we're doing two trips, building three houses each time. So we're doing six houses a year, roughly five to six. And so how is that affected? It's kind of hard to measure, to be honest with you, David. But I think the more that you get disciplined, and this is really kind of coming from a spiritual level as well, I think the more that you get disciplined and understand the numbers in your own business, then I think the more your business will be blessed. And if you're giving, you have an open hand in your business. I haven't known of any entrepreneur who has an open hand in their business that allows money to flow through it for the greater good of humanity in the world, that they haven't prospered as a result of putting something like that in place and in process. So for us, it's having that freedom. And even before, just knowing that even though there's, you know, 10% of our net profit is setting aside for the mission work, we still didn't have that, you know, the profit first piece in place. And so we didn't have 100% confidence and a comfort level that, okay, we're going to build three houses this quarter. But, you know, if we haven't done a good enough job, you know, preparing for next quarter or forecasting next quarter, we may have, you know, funneled some money onto the mission field that we should have kept for our business itself. And so that has never happened. Fortunately, that has never happened. There's been months and quarters that were tight. But now there's just completely no worry about that. And so, you know, the minute that we head down the jet bridge to head to Mexico with our group, and there's absolutely no concern about anything in the business right now. Cause, you know, if anything happens in 5 days while I'm gone, somebody can write a check or it'll wait till I can come back and we just go and we're able to do that. So, it is also freeing from just a personal standpoint to have that cushion and everything in place, so that we can go serve and really be in the mindset to be able to serve as well.
Oh, that's awesome. I love what you said there right at the very end, the mindset to go and serve too. It's like, it's one thing if you can scrape the money together to go, you know, on a mission trip, and then you're like all worried about the stuff that's happening back, you know, like when you've where you've come from. And it's like, that's where you can't be fully present with why you even went to, you know, to a place like that. So that's a great point too, that not giving yourself that mindset and that freedom and that space to be able to really relish in whatever you're doing. If it's a mission trip, or if you take that money, you know, like you're an entrepreneur and you go out and do a vacation with your family, you want to be present with them, you know, and it's like that freeing mindset.
Yeah. And if I could just expand on that for a second, that is the leverage point in our business is that, you know, we take 20 to 25 people per house on these trips and we pay for it and we open them up to the mission field and the mission experience. And so like your kids, you can take them to Disney World, but if you're the parent that's sitting on the park bench, not riding the rides because you're still doing emails and taking care of fires in your business, you know, your kids see that. Are the folks that we take on these mission trips, if they see that I'm not present or I'm handling fires or whatever, they're just like, well, you know, at what expense is he doing this? Is heart really in this? So equally as important, just wanted to make that point.
Oh, that is so good. It really is good. There's a big lesson there for everyone because it's not even on a trip. What about in your business? What if you're worried about those fires all the time and can't work on the higher level of your business? Just going to get stuck in that rat race. And that's what I love. I think the theme of this one, like the freedom, you know, that mind freedom, that financial freedom, like that's really that freeing the mind space for what you can do. So that's incredible. Why don't you tell the listeners too, just going away for profit first a little bit, but like how many storage units do you have and like how long have you been doing storage units?
Yeah, we started in the real estate business in 93 and bought a bunch of single family rental houses following the Carlton Sheets method for those that are familiar with him, buying and rehabbing, refinancing, and then renting them out. So the Burr method before it was called the Burr method, and we had about 75 houses and then didn't have the cash flow and the freedom we wanted or expected. And so we got into apartments, hoping to get that economies of scale and really be the springboard to helping us achieve our goals of having financial freedom and time freedom to do what we wanted. But for us, all they did was just kind of compound the problems. Even if we had management companies in place, you know, there's just a lot to manage when you have people living in rental spaces and carpet and drywall and heating and air and all that versus so storage, which is a metal box on a concrete slab with nobody living in it. I mean, literally 90% of all our stress and the things that we did on a regular basis and the babysitting and the issues were just gone. You know, we eliminated, the hassles of tenants and toilets and trash and all the employees that were involved in that. And so along about 2005, we sold all our houses and apartments and got into self-storage, acquiring facilities. And then we got into developing from the ground up and then conversions, you know, taking industrial buildings and, you know, all types of grocery stores, old grocery stores and big boxes and converting into self-storage. And as we grew our education business and platform, the more opportunities came and landed on our plate. I speak for the trade shows and I write articles for Forbes magazine and the trade show associations. And so they bring a lot of opportunities our way. And so really in the past 4 or 5 years, our business has really exploded on that end. And so by way of mainly development, but also acquisitions and joint ventures, we're up to now 2.5 million square feet of self-storage nationwide. We're in about 15 states, and I think we've surpassed, I'm not exactly sure, but I think we've surpassed 15,000 doors nationwide as well, and do a lot of that through syndication and our own fund, in which we raise private equity from the folks that we've met along the way as well.
Okay, that's incredible, because I want to make sure people knew where you're coming from and that you are definitely the self-storage king here and have a lot of square feet and do a lot of great stuff. But now that they kind of have that background, what would you say is the hardest lesson you've learned in real estate up to this point with all your experience and the different types that you've done in the past?
Yeah, well, I appreciate you recognizing me as the nation's expert or the king of self-storage, but what I'm the king at is making mistakes in real estate along the way. However, I see the king at learning from them. You know, just there's been a lot of lessons learned along the way, hard lessons, I think, are early on doing it too much and not, you know, paying somebody 10 to 15 bucks an hour to do some of the rehabs and the work that we had done. And too many people are stuck feeling like they can't and they have to do all the work themselves. But while you're doing that, somebody else is eating your lunch because they found the deals because they were doing marketing and the things that they should have been doing. So that was lesson number one. Second was over leveraging. Even though our portfolio was at maybe 75% LTV, I think in this game to weather the economic cycles and you know, from a recession to an inflationary period, you know, and everything in between, I think you really need to keep an eye on setting those budgets in place. Profit first being one of them, obviously at the you know at the core, but also just you know managing that debt level and that debt ratio, and that is what caught people off guard as we lived through the last recession. Third lesson is partnering. I know you asked for one, but you know early on I had doing well on my own and just loved doing things on my own. That's just my nature, kind of the way I grew up. But then I got into a partnership and it didn't go so well. It was one of my first. And so I just swore off partners. And then many years later, meeting other folks that were doing successful partnerships by way of syndication and joint ventures and just bringing people in and having, you know, a solid set of legal documents, operating agreements that lined out the roles and responsibilities of the partners and what they did. And if anybody stepped out of line or out of their lane, it was okay for the other partners to say, hey, get back in your lane. And, you know, here's your roles and responsibilities. Here's mine. Let's keep on going down the path. And so I probably could have grown a little bit larger and sooner and be better suited to bring in people to fill in, you know, my many blind spots had I just been open to partners along the way and not just let this one bad experience taint that. So I think those are the areas primarily, and maybe even going back to, you know, the very beginning, you know, we teach and we train a lot of people that have come through our self-storage academies in our organization. And I think fear stops more would-be successful entrepreneurs and investors than all factors combined. So before people get out of the gate, they're unsure of themselves because they don't know what they don't know, or they've got a circle of folks that are that really don't want them to succeed because it makes them feel worse about themselves. And so, I think getting education, surrounding yourself with the right people, whether that's partners and education, mentors, whatever that looks like, to allow you to move forward instead of letting fear, paranoia, or what other people say or think about you, you know, keep you from starting to begin with. So there's at least four. I guess I'll stop there, David.
No, those are great. I mean, that's incredible. So lots of great lessons there. Lots of things that the listeners can take away from. You've grown a good sized team. You've grown, you know, like you have a lot of units. You've got a lot of experience in this area. So what would you say right now in your business is the highest and best use of your time that you get the highest return from personally?
Well, I think that is kind of the question within the question, David. And that is, if you haven't been, and I'm speaking to everyone out there, if you haven't been on a personal journey of self-awareness, to even understand what that looks like, to know what is your unique ability, then it starts there. Many, many years ago, I went through Dan Sullivan's program, Strategic Coach, and just read his book on unique ability and finding out what that is. And it really, I mean, everybody knows what it is. It's what fires you up. What do you like best about your business in the business that you're doing? And if you can figure out a way to make 80% of your time in your business doing that, then most likely you're going to succeed. And then finding the people around you to delegate the rest to, the things that you're not good at, the things that you've just been putting off doing, or the things that you just don't know how to do that you can hire somebody to do better than you. So it's really finding that sweet spot. And it's, you know, right, roughly an 80-20 ratio of, if you know what your unique ability is to be able to grow and drive your business, then finding a way to create an organizational structure that allows you to do that 80% of the time, knowing that 20% of the time is the stuff that you just aren't good at and you have to do, and you have to have meetings and you have to train your people to do those types of things. I mean, that's just inevitable. So I think it's that. For me, that is just talking to people about investing in self-storage, whether it be students, but mostly in our syndications, our passive investors, the folks, individuals, the funds, the hedge funds, other folks that have significant amounts of capital to tell our story and share what we're doing. And, you know, they catch the excitement and why we're so passionate about self-storage. If you can get passionate about metal boxes on concrete slabs, but passionate about the industry and the business model and why it works so well and why we're the team to work with, because we've been at it for a while and our success and the team that we've built, and just being able to share that, I think that's my unique ability. That's our superpower in the business. And so if I can do that all day long, I never get tired of it. That is just my sweet spot and where I'd like to spend all my time.
Awesome. And I love that. Just going into, like, you have to have a kind of a personal self-discovery there. You might like real estate investing, but what's your superpower in the business and what do you like to do? That was really good. So then just a couple last questions here. What last parting advice would you give to real estate investors listening to this, you know, podcast? Any other advice that you want to leave them here?
Yeah. Well, go back and listen to this again. Everything that I just mentioned, you know, we've been at this a while. We've been at this since 93, heading into the third recession. And, I think if you stick to those basics that I gave you, that's one of them. But as we head into this next economic cycle, there's a lot of people that have had a lot of success, and there's a whole lot of folks that are purporting to have a lot of success. You see them everywhere on TikTok, on Facebook, and everywhere else. And many of these successful folks, and they're also the gurus, the educators, if you will, that have had the wind in their sail of an economy that like we've never seen before, and exiting properties and projects, at record profits. But we're going to head into a recession. We're heading into an inflationary period this year. The Fed's already stated 3 rate increases. We'll see a slowdown. We'll see some valuations of real estate go down, and the market's going to change and shift. So if you've got your head in the sand, or you feel that you're better than everybody else, and you're going to weather this better than anybody else, the tide goes out up and down, and all ships go up and down with it. So keep your ear to the ground, keep your eyes open, watch what the economists are saying, look at the news, look at all the data and the stats on what's going on in the particular asset class in real estate that you're involved in, and what your business model is, and talk to those other folks that are doing this same business model, especially those that have been through at least the last recession, if not 2 others, and then ask them what they're doing. Follow them, reverse engineer what they're doing, look at what they're doing, talk to them, ask what they're doing if you have access to them, and do likewise. You're not immune to the economic cycles, because it affects real estate no matter how good you are, and no matter how good you think you are, and the successes you've had in the past several years. Again, a little bit of self-awareness. You need to be aware of how much of that was attributable to your own personal and best business practices versus an economy that's done very well. And then prepare accordingly. Have cash. Don't get over leveraged, because through all this, for us personally, we're selling a lot of facilities off at the top of the market right now. We're heading into this year that is going to produce a downturn. There's going to be people that are going to have to get out of their facilities because they can't refinance at the new rates and the new valuations in this new environment. And we want to have the cash and the lender relationships available to buy those properties when other folks are exiting and they can't make a profit. So we want to be that solution. And this is going to be the biggest land grab probably in our career in terms of sheer numbers of units and projects this year and next. And in this down cycle is going to be the retirement maker for our organization and those that come along with us. How's that? So I think it's just being hyper aware of what's going on around you is the best advice that I can have right now.
Awesome. No, I love that. That's incredible. So you've shared a ton of great things. You gave us 4 lessons. You gave us what Profit First has done for you. You just gave us that great advice there, and a lot around the freedom and the mindset. Now, how can the listeners give back to you? How can they give you some value back? Because there's been a ton of value here. I know you have selfstorageinvesting.com. You've got, the courses that you teach, and you're helping people get out of their rat race. So how can people connect with you?
Selfstorageinvesting.com is for all things self-storage. For those that are interested in the business, both actively, if you want to learn about the business and how to invest on your own, as well as passively through our syndications, that is the place to go do it. As far as giving back to me, we just, we're in that legacy building phase right now where we just love to see people go out there and implement our best business practices. We share our best business practices, and they go out and implement that and put it in their own. That's fantastic. And then you layer on top of that Profit First. That's just as educators, the educators in us, when we see people take that information, go out and do it, that's why we continue to do what we do. Our business is our mission field. But on a larger scale, David, how could people give back to me? No matter what you're doing out there, we're in a different time right now, and not to get all woo-woo and fluffy and foofy, but we all need to get back to a place where we're just respecting each other. And there is in business and at a personal level. And it's just, to me personally, just kind of shocking, the place that we've come as a society, and how in business, in real estate, that we just don't give people, their due, their time, their the attention, and operate from a manner of integrity, and also just openness and helping each other out. So getting back to the place where everybody's helping out, creating win-win situations in business, and just taking time to look at the people around you. We haven't done that in the past couple of years, and there's just been too much of an excuse not to. So, I would like to see an end to the way that we have been treating each other over the past couple of years, in light of the pandemic and the lockdown and everybody behind masks, that we just get to a place where we need to stop being negative and stop throwing bombs out on social media and hiding behind a screen and doing so, and get back to the place where we're going to make an intentional effort to get back to loving our brothers and sisters and treating everybody in the way that they deserve to be treated, period.
Preach. You stay there for a while. So that was good stuff. Like that, I wish, yeah, could go on and on about that all day. That was really, really good. So you can connect with Scott at selfstorageinvesting.com for all of his stuff. And then please go out there and just be nice to someone. Like, don't throw out your issues out on Facebook or whatnot. Go out there and see how you can help someone. That's how Scott has gotten to where he is. He's helped a ton of people with their storage, with getting their storage set up, you know, like in different areas. So lots of good stuff here. Thank you so much for being on today, Scott. It was an honor to have you.
Oh, my pleasure, David. Always a pleasure, and looking forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. If you found this episode valuable, could you do me a quick favor? Could you give us an honest rating within iTunes? And be honest, you could say whether you liked it or not. And obviously with iTunes, the more reviews and ratings we have, the better it is for other people that are searching for Profit First and a podcast. So we'd love to be ranked on there. And that's thanks to your help. So we would really appreciate that if you would like to go give us a rating. Also, if you're looking to connect with us further, I would highly recommend checking out our Facebook group, Profit First for Real Estate Investors, and that's literally what it's called. So you can type in Profit First for Real Estate Investors, and you'll be able to find our Facebook group right there. So come join active real estate investors who are supporting each other and growing their businesses and profits together. That's what that group is all about. The link should be in the description below. And if you're interested in working with us and implementing Profit First in your real estate business, we offer coaching and guidance. So if you want to work with someone who's actually Profit First certified and who works right now currently with real estate businesses, you can actually go start your application process by going to simplecfosolutions.com/apply, or just go right to simplecfosolutions.com and there's an apply button right on there. If you want to actually start your Profit First journey with someone who can actually walk you through those step by step and help you know and grow your cash flow. Thanks again for joining us for another episode of the Profit First REI podcast. See you next episode.